You know, Bob Boylan, around this time of year every year, a strange thing happens. I step out of my posh urban
cocoon.
Sanctuary. Okay. Yes, cocoon, in the heart of Adams Morgan in D.C., and I see lines stretching down a couple of the blocks nearby.
Ice cream?
That's right. Record store day. No, it's record store day, and I happen to live, I live close to several really great record stores, Red Onion, Crooked Bead, and Smash Records.
All in Washington, D.C.
All in Washington, D.C., all within about a block or two of my house, and if I ever forget when record store day is, I do. I step out of the house and I see these lines and I know instantly, record store day.
Did you spend lots of your childhood or at least teen days going to record stores on the weekend or the weekdays?
Well, not a lot because...
Oh, right. Did they have record stores in Kansas?
We had one.
What was it called?
Was it Somebody's House of Sight and Sound?
I can't remember.
I can't remember what it was called. But we had a record store in a nearby town. It was about a half hour away. We had to drive to. So I only got to music stores if my parents
The idea that you couldn't walk to a record store when you needed to is just like, I can't even fathom that moment.
Well, I've been making up for lost time since then. So building my vinyl collection, and I love Record Store Day. What a great thing of beauty to see people lined up. There's so many people who want to go to a record store. There is a line out the door.
And the incentives are usually releases that have never been out before, or reissues or repackagings, or so many things that are come out on this particular day, the third Saturday of every year. Let's kick it off with something that's coming out that no one's heard.
All right. Bruce Springsteen, the Boss, is releasing four songs. Never heard before songs. Four new songs. All on vinyl for Record Store Day. Three of these songs were recorded for the High Hopes album, his most recent one that came out in January. He recorded with the E Street Band. And these four songs are going to come out on a 12-inch that he's calling American Beauty. The American Beauty.
Anyway, there was an American Beauty. It was a Grateful Dead.
Well, this is Bruce's American Beauty.
Fair
There's
enough.
Also
he
a film
it.
Called American Beauty that was
that took it from the
pretty
Grateful
fantastic.
Dead.
Yeah, well, maybe. Anyway, there are three cuts that were from that session. I'm going to play one that actually was not from the High Hopes session. This is a song
build up my hopes.
Called Hurry Up Sundown. Hurry Up Sundown from Bruce Springsteen from the American Beauty EP for Record Store Day.
Sundown, hey,
rock and roll.
It's perfect record.
It is. Know, it really it is. It's record. Great. The other three cuts on this American Beauty EP are more acoustic, sort of softer, gentler numbers. Love the energy on this one. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of an REM song. Strip out Bruce Springsteen's voice, add in Michael Stipe, and that is a perfect REM song. It's got that nice jangle rock to it that I think of when I think of REM. Anyway, Bruce Springsteen plays all of the instruments on this song that we just heard, Hurry Up Sundown, except for drums, which were performed by Josh Fries. And one other piece of information we just got from our esteemed intern, Faith Massey, who found the record store I was talking about. It was actually just the House of Sight and Sound. Nobody's name in
nobody
front of the house.
Take, nobody would take ownership.
Yeah, and it, it was a good, it was a great record store. Anyway, according to this, it closed in 2011 after 40 years.
Wow.
I remember going to that record store when...
I take it all back.
When CDs first started coming out in the early, mid-80s or so, I remember going there, and they had Pink Floyd's The Wall on a double CD, and I spent every penny I had. It was $40, and this was like 1985 or something like that. And $40 was all the money in the world to me. But...
Right, and they ripped you off back then. I'm just going to say, the promise of CDs was that things were going to get cheap.
Yeah. Well, it was super, super expensive back then. But it's gone, you know, it may be, it's probably less than $40 now, I imagine, a double CD.
No, I'm just saying, the beginning of the CD thing, people said, yeah, it's expensive now, but the nice thing about CDs as opposed to vinyl, because of oil prices and vinyl and stuff, mm-hmm. that the price was going to make these things, these little discs were going to get real cheap.
Yeah.
The list price kept going up every year. Yeah. Not quite every
well,
year.
Well, we're here we're talking about, I'm telling you, a memory of buying a CD at right, this record right, store on record store right. day. But that was a great record store. Yeah, House of Sight and Sound. But anyway, back Bruce Springsteen played all the cuts except or played all the tracks except for drums. That was Josh Fries.
And Josh Fries, since the late '90s, has been playing drums with a band called Devo. And
Devo, I've heard of Devo.
Yeah, you've heard of Devo. And in the late '70s, Devo played a show at Max's Kansas City in New York City. David Bowie did the intros for that show.
Wow. And he's got goosebumps.
Right? And a record store called Jackpot in Portland, Oregon has Jackpot Records, and this record store is putting out Devo at Max's Kansas City from 1977, an entire concert, and it's coming out on Record Store Day this year.
Nice. Anyway, we don't have it, but
give me that.
Go out and buy it if you want it.
I have two of the songs from the Live at Max's Kansas City record. One is Satisfaction. Everyone knows Satisfaction, but I just want to play the top. I want you to hear David Bowie introduce the band. But then I'm going to go to the thing that I saw this band in 78. I wore a yellow radioactivity suit to the concert that they played
of course
a year
you
later
did.
At Gaston Hall in Georgetown. But I want you to hear just David Bowie introduce the band.
This is their third encounter with a New York audience, and they're the De-Evolution Band. Devo.
That familiar, yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes you want to hear it, but I'm not going to let you hear it now. You're going to have to go to Record Store Day to get it. I'm going to play Uncontrollable Urge, which was a song in their concert where they just went crazy and everyone went insane. This Max's Kansas City show in New York was before their Warner Brother record. They had a single out. I think the Stiff EP, the four-song EP they did that summer came out. I don't remember, give or take a few weeks or months, whether it was out at that point. But they weren't a well-known band, and this is fabulous. This is Uncontrollable Urge from Devo.
We'll evolve now. Uncontrollable Urge.
Yeah.
can't imagine being able to see that as that happened live some 35 years ago or whenever that was.
You know, we don't think of Devo as having that, you know, that smack punch in the face, but they really had it. They had humor, they had punk, and they had futurism in their electronics and stuff, and they were just such a fun band to see.
And a year later, you were in your radioactive suit.
I was.
Seeing them in Georgetown.
Yeah.
I was wearing a radioactive suit then, too, but it was I was in the third grade, and I was just wearing that to class routinely. Speaking of kids and Devo, you know, my two-year-old son is a huge Mark Mothersbaugh fan.
How so?
Mark Mothersbaugh is a recurring character on Yo Gabba Gabba.
Oh.
He went to art. Mark Mothersbaugh went to art school.
Yeah.
And so he is an illustrator, and on the show he draws pictures for the kids.
Aww.
And Devo played on the show one time too, a few years ago. But he'll come on, and my little 2-year old will say, Mark, Mark. It's awesome.
It is. Yeah. So what happens if one day he joins a band?
I will be the proudest parent on the planet.
What about working behind the counter in a record store? Okay. So what?
I'll be the proudest parent on the planet. You know, we talked about all those guys hanging out at record stores, the lines out the block, and we went out in search of one.
Sort of.
We dug one up. We found a real live music fan.
So one of my buddies over the past year has been Ben Kessler, and Ben is a super uber wonderful fan. If you were banned, you'd want Ben to be your fan because Ben pays for every ticket. pays for every record he gets. He buys the vinyl at shows at the end of shows as a show of approval for bands. And it's so wonderfully admirable. But he's also one of the guys who will be first in line at Crooked Beats. Are you going to be there Saturday, Ben? Hi.
I will be there Saturday. I've been first in line. I've been fifth in line, and I was out in the rain and missed work for a week.
I got sick.
I don't think I told anyone that.
Well, you did now.
Yeah. Now my past employer
the
knows.
The record's out of the bag.
Right.
Do you remember what you wanted that year so badly that you got, or is every year the same year you're
Well, I remember because the thing that I wanted most, they didn't have.
Oh. Yeah. This is a problem.
Yeah.
The thing with, if you're a small record store, and now as the releases grow, and there's so many that are exclusive for that day, you have to decide as a store manager, like you would any inventory, I'm going to get this for my store. I'm not going to get this for my store. It's a commitment, and you can't get it all because who can? I mean, maybe there's a massive record store that can do that, but most little record stores have to choose, and they have to know their clients, and they got to do this.
The label only puts out, in some cases, they only put out a couple hundred copies of some of this stuff.
So do you remember what it was, by the way, that they didn't have?
I think it was the year that I was first in line. It was the Hold Steady were putting out their record early, and it was a limited cover Silk Screen. It was the exact same album that you could get weeks later, but
but you were willing to be sick
because
for weeks.
I am who I am. I needed it early, and right. I needed the Silk Screen cover.
And this year, do you have a list?
I have my list. I narrowed it down to 20 titles, trying to avoid what happened last year,
which is
when I got rung up at the counter and I received a round of applause from the entire store. So
We'll give you a round of applause just for getting that round of applause.
Did they read that this year?
Did they read out your total?
Oh, all totals. There are a few of us. All totals were read out loud, yes.
You're going to pass it along? Do you feel like it might...
It approached four digits.
Wow. Good
like
job.
Like I said, if you're Ben Kessler with a K...
Are you a fan of the show at all, Ben? Yeah, because we could use fans like that, too.
I listen when I can, sometimes even when I'm sitting at work.
Let's go down your list. Give me a couple of things and let's play something.
So everything from Allman Brothers at the Beacon, early 90s, to Notorious B.I.G. reissue, to Wizard of Oz, full soundtrack coming out, of course, on yellow vinyl.
I'm going to make a point that you're under 30. I am.
Yes.
Because the Allman Brothers thing might throw people to think you're some, you know, baby boomer and older than me or something.
Plus, you have an income. So
right,
a lot of people would think you're not at all in
that's
your
20s. That's true. Yeah. There's that, too.
Another one I'm looking forward to, Pogues. Shane McGowan's not there. They get a guy to fill in named Joe Strummer. It's 1991.
But he wasn't doing anything.
Right. Yeah. So they get him to fill in. I think we've seen this release once before in a box set, but it was CD. So this is first time on vinyl.
And he learned all the chords. Shane taught him all of how to play this stuff in an afternoon, basically. And he wrote
Right, he had to check every once in a while, look down at the stage and check his notes.
He made a little chart of all the chords and stuff. So
but
he
I
knew
think
all
when
the
you're
songs.
Joe Strummer, you can get away with it.
Well, let's play some of this Joe Strummer being the Pogues. And what are we going to play?
This is the Pogues song with Joe Strummer singing lead, If I Should Fall from Grace with God.
Great. This leads off this record, the Pogues with Joe Strummer, which incidentally is 22 cuts.
It's a good show.
Here we go.
Would have liked to have been there.
Thanks. Good evening. Bonsoir. Is it too freezing out there? I know you've been outside freezing your asses off, but it's a lot warmer out than out back, so let's get into it and get some movement with us and fall from grace with God.
You got to do
that. Hey! I can't even nail it.
Joe Strummer and the Pogues. I had never heard that before. I'm sorry. I totally missed that.
New to me, but now I have to have it. And I'll be there Saturday morning.
It will be mine.
This isn't the first time Strummer's played with this band.
Once before, filled in on guitar. But this is Joe taking the lead on the mic for an entire show.
Amazing. So much fun. So we've done a bunch of old stuff, the Devo, the Pogues, and we kicked off with Bruce Springsteen. But one of the other nice things about Record Store Day is that you get stuff by newer acts, the equivalent of what have been great B-sides for singles that you would go out and buy, where you'd get basically your bonus.
So Lydia Loveless put out a record, full-length album this year. She's participated in Record Store Day once before, a 7-inch single. The B-side for that was Allison by Elvis Costello. She's back with a new 7-inch for Record Store Day. The B-side, also a cover, a little different this time. She's flying her Kesha flag, letting everyone know that she's a big fan. I, too, am a diehard Kesha fan. I love Lydia Loveless. So this time she's playing Blind, which I believe she's played live before, but this is the first time we'll hear the studio version of.
To be clear, she didn't blindfold herself in order to record this song. The song is called Blind. From
as
Kesha,
far as I understand, that's correct.
But from Kesha's debut record, Animal, in 2010.
So the one thing to know, Crooked Beat, don't disappoint Ben this Saturday. I mean, you can't do that.
Don't mess it up, guys. This is your big chance. Right. This is your break even.
loved at the top of this. I'm sorry, Ben, I'm doing this. But I loved at the top when it started coming on and you said, this is exciting.
It was exciting.
First chance to hear it.
Yeah, first chance.
So that's one you'll be getting, you'll be waiting in line for?
I must have it.
Lydia Lovelace doing Kesha. I think she made this for you.
That would have been nice.
You know, I have been told by her publicist that Lydia Lovelace is such a huge Kesha fan that she actually has a Kesha tattoo. And I'm wondering if you have a Kesha tattoo.
I once asked my mom if she would still love me if I got a Pearl Jam tattoo. And without missing a beat, she said, yes, I would just respect you less. So perhaps a follow-up question.
Two-part question, Mom.
Follow-up question, what about Kesha?
Well, I was searching for images here, and this is one I came up. A guy who's got a picture of Kesha over his on his back shoulder. So maybe that's something to think about. For Record Store
Day
weekend.
A nice portrait.
Yeah.
And think about this, because you're not going to be able to do it this weekend. You're going to be busy. You're going to be busy getting records, listening to records, Ben.
A little distracted.
But on May 15th, right here at NPR's place, in our offices, Lydia Lovelace is going to do Tiny Desk. And if you had the Kesha tattoo all healed by then, it'd be a great picture.
Or a Lydia Lovelace tattoo.
Lydia Lovelace tattoo, and on that tattoo, she has a Kesha tattoo.
Mind-blowing.
It's like when two mirrors face each other.
Ben, you need to get back to your paying job because you got to spend a lot of money this weekend.
Eventually, I will have to.
Okay, stick with us about 10 more minutes because I've got a new Orwell song, and I know we've had great fun at the Orwell.
We certainly have.
So you should be ready for that. But Mr. Hilton,
I've got a new Dana Falconberry.
Well, let's have some fun with Dana Falconberry then.
All right, Dana Falconberry, it's a song that she did with Jim Eno, Spoon's drummer, and he's also a producer. He did the Dormarian record, the Telekinesis record that came out last year.
Cool little studio in Austin he has. I shouldn't say little. It's a beautiful space.
Well, Dana Falconberry's from Austin. She's a guitarist and singer from there. And we had her in for the Tiny Desk. She was one of our favorite discoveries at Austin a couple of years ago.
We didn't ask her about her tattoos.
South by Southwest. No, I didn't ask her about her tattoos. She's got two songs coming out for Record Store Day. I'm going to play one of them. It's called Seven Hills. This song and the other song called Palmless are both more textured with electronics than on anything I've ever heard her do before. But just beautiful. This song, Seven Hills, coming out for Record Store Day from Dana Falconberry and Jim Eno producing.
Thought the moon would die. Blood in my blood, a gull's cry. Oh, painted sea, you will ruin me. I saw the mountain.
that was completely unexpected. And if you would have played it, I wouldn't have guessed Dana.
Yeah, but doesn't her voice work nicely against that mix?
Completely does. Nice work, Mr. Eno and Jim Eno, and nice work, Dana.
Yeah, this is coming out on Jim Eno's own public Hi-Fi Records label for Record Store Day, and he is working on a full-length record from Dana Falconberry. It'll be her next record. Don't know when that's coming out yet, but really looking forward to hearing the whole thing. Neither this song, Seven Hills, or the other one that's being released for Record Store Day, Palmless, neither of those songs will be on the full length. So, did your list just get a little bit longer as you were listening to that?
I may have to move it from needs to wants and think.
Do you have tears? I didn't realize you had tears.
I sit there and we talk about what do I need.
But then how
I
do you
want
do
it
this?
All.
So you go into the store, you've got this list, you're not alone, right? They probably let in Crooked Beats, they probably let in 20 people, I don't know, whatever. Right?
20 people at a time.
And you get the pick, and then do they have a separate bin for just
They have an army of staff. They fly in past staff. They keep all of the Record Store Day titles behind the counter, and they're ready. If you have a list, they're ready to fill your order.
Wow, so you just hand them the list.
They're ready to go.
But then how do you do the stuff like, I don't know if I want this or this or this.
Those people aren't tolerated.
Void where prohibited.
Get them out.
Well, I'm surprised that the Crooked Beat doesn't have some sort of a special access door for you to come in.
There's a lot of
they
you.
They might, but I can't tell you about it.
I mean, you're unique, but you're not. And that's the, you know. Yeah.
There are a few of us nerds out there. And I guess I'm sitting in a room with two of them. But
oh, yeah. Well, I worked in record stores for many, many years. I spent so many years in record stores. And I mean, it's hard to believe I don't do that much anymore.
I was very aware of record stores when I was growing up. I knew they were out there. I heard tales.
All I can say is this, is that Record Store Day is a wonderful thing to have. It's not always the big money maker that you would think for record stores. Support your record store on a more than once a year, third Saturday of the month basis. They'd be very happy about that. Artists would be happy about that. And I think the download, the fact that usually with these, you get a download too, so you get the convenience and you get the art and the thing to hold. It's so nice to just take out. I've been on the weekends pulling my records out these days and putting the vinyls on of things I love. And it's a joy.
Never thought, I bet, when you were working at that record store that it would be such a novelty.
Yeah, to have a record store day. Please, every day was record store
yeah,
day.
Exactly.
I want to go out on something, another new one. The Orwells are a wonderful, wonderful band of young kids from Chicago area, suburb of Chicago. They have a record coming out this summer, and there's a single, a 12-inch vinyl single coming out for Record Store Day. Two new songs from the Orwells. I was torn because I listened to both and I was torn which one to play. I want to play the one that has the more melodic guitar because that's what I really love about this band's music when I put them on a turntable or a music player. Live, they can just do anything and I'm happy, but I love their guitar sound. There are two songs. One song, the A side, is The Righteous Ones, and then I'm going to play this song called Always and Forever. And thanks, Ben Kessler.
It's been a dream. I say that honestly.
That's right. None of this actually happened. It was a dream.
We'll make a little flexi disc for you for next year for Record Store Day.
I need higher quality than that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'll see you in my hood.
Absolutely.
This Saturday.
That's right. Yeah. Throw something down at them. What time do you get online?
Oh, I think there'll probably be people camping out.
What time do you get online?
Oh,
online.
The other line. Yeah. What time are you getting on the line?
On
the
line. Line.
When are you get? When are you
I'm
getting
from New
in
York.
Line?
I'll get there. We'll see when the other VIPs will arrive.
What time are you getting there? Oh, I see. You don't want to give it away?
I don't want to. There might be.
Oh, this is good, yeah.
Something. But when I pass by Crooked Beat and I see a tent there Friday night on my way to go get dinner.
Initials BK.
Yeah, I'll know.
Okay, good. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Orwells. And thank you all the clerks behind those stores and Record Store Day and all the days. It's All Songs Considered.